Sunday school, you missed out, first off. Second off, you're going to hear probably some of the same stuff this morning. So you didn't really miss out. But no, I thank Gary for doing that. That was a really good Sunday school lesson. But this week, of course, is the week of what? Thanksgiving. So what do you think I'm going to do a message on? Thanksgiving. Yep, you guessed right. So we're going to be talking about giving thanks, or really we're going to be talking about how we struggle with not giving thanks, with being ungrateful. Okay, the Bible in 2 Timothy 3:2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." And then in Romans 1, verse 22, it says, "Because that we knew, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." After that verse, it says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." But we see that as we get further away from God, as we stray further away, what happens to us? We tend to become more unthankful for things. All right, and I think we'd all agree that today we live in one of the best time frames to be alive, wouldn't you think? I mean, I would think so. Whenever I work at RailVac, we'd be bored because we'd be doing the same things for hours, just shoving batteries in boxes and loading batteries. And so we'd always ask, if you could be born in what time period, what would it be? Everybody said, well, I'd be born in like the Victorian age. Somebody said that would be fun. I was like, no. I was like, if you read about that, they're pretty weird back then. And then nobody said medieval times because everybody died before they turned 30 in medieval times. All right, but as you think that, you're like, wow, we have it pretty good here. Okay, we have everything we want. We have the internet, which is awesome. We can look up anything we want. We can find out information. We can learn about things that people back in the day didn't even know existed. All right, but then somehow we still find ourselves being unthankful. We still find ourselves wanting more. All right. The Bible records several instances of unthankfulness, but it also shows us how to be thankful. So what I want to do is I want to give three examples, because Gary said a good Baptist has 3 points. All right. So I'm trying to be a good Baptist this morning. I'm going to do 3 examples, and then we're going to talk about how to fix the problem of unthankfulness. So let's start. Before we start, actually, let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much that we're able to come to your house this morning. Thank you so much for the great Sunday school lesson that we've already heard. I pray you just be with us here as we learn about unthankfulness, Lord. Just pray that we'd be able to just reflect on all that you've given us. I pray that you'd just bless the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Verses 1 through 6, we're going to read about, well, actually, what happens in Genesis 3? Anybody know off the top of their head? The fall of man, right? It's a pretty big chapter, pretty sad chapter. We're going to start there in verse number 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So, where were Adam and Eve whenever they were doing this? They were in the Garden of Eden, right? The most beautiful place on earth, I think. Okay, there was no sickness, no pain, no hardship, just surrounded by complete beauty all the time. Okay, and also they were able to walk with God whenever they wanted. God could dwell with them in the same place. Okay? But yet, they lived in this miraculous place. How long did it take for the devil to get their eyes off of what they had? It didn't take very long, did they? Did it? Okay? What the devil did was he came in and he said, "Hey, you see this great place that you're in? You see everything that God has given you?" And then the devil went, "Oh, wait a second. What is this? What is this thing right here?" And all of a sudden, Eve's eyes were on everything she had, and then she focused on the one thing she couldn't have, right? That's the devil's plan. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later tonight, about the devil's plan to ruin us. But suddenly walking with God in the most beautiful place on earth just wasn't enough for them. Okay, the devil had gotten their eyes off of what they had and turned it to what they did not have, which was the knowledge of good and evil. Now they wanted to be like a god. Okay, we seem to think that if we just had that one extra thing, if we could just have that one thing that we're told we can't have or that we shouldn't have, that we'd be happy, don't we? We tend to think, oh man, if I just had, you know, that special thing that I have my eye on, then I'd be happy. But we forget all that God has given us. Think about this. We get after Adam and Eve a lot, but I said earlier that we live in a time where we have everything we want. Okay, I don't think there's anything that I'm really in need of. There's a lot of things I want, but they're just too expensive for me right now. But we have everything that we want or need, but yet we're still not satisfied, are we? We're not content. The devil will make us discontent and forget everything that God has already given us. All right? It's pretty easy for us to become dissatisfied or discontent with what God has given us. If God made it easy for Adam and Eve to leave the Garden of Eden or to fall for that one tree, how easy do you think it is for us to be deceived? For us to fall for something that God says, you know what? No, you don't need that right now. And all of a sudden, once we can't have that one thing we want, we become upset. We become, man, God, if you just would give it to me, I'd be more happy. Well, God's saying, well, I've given you the Garden of Eden, and you're still not happy. We become discontent. We're not thankful for what God has already given us. Turn over to Luke 17. Luke chapter number 17. Verse 11. This is the story about the 10 lepers. Starting in verse 11, it says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Okay, so these 10 lepers, which I don't remember if Miss Carol remembers. Do you remember doing a lesson on the lepers and you showed an actual picture of it? Yeah, that scarred me for life. Yeah, it is pretty gross. Yeah, she showed a bunch of like 10 and 11-year-olds what leprosy looks like. It's scarring. But, all right, but these lepers came to Jesus asking for mercy. Okay, but once they got that mercy, once they got what they wanted, what happened? They left. Okay, and they must have been so excited that God actually answered their calls, their pleas, that all they were focused on was the blessing. All except for one guy. Okay, 1 out of 10. So 10%, if my math is correct. 10%. Okay, we'll go back and to thank God for what he's actually done. All right, I think sometimes we get a lot of our requests to God, or a lot of our prayers to God, are requests. We go to God and say, God, please help us, you know, with this thing that I'm struggling with. Please help me with my job. I can't do it anymore. I'm struggling with it. Please help me to find a job. I need a job desperately to support my family. Please help my family situation. Please, you know, everything is a request. And very little times is our prayers to God, thanks for what he has given us. Thanks for actually answering the prayers. You know, we'll ask for God to give us a job, and he gives us a job, and we're just so excited. We call up everybody. We say, hey, I got a job. I finally can start working again. And God is one of the last people that we end up talking to and thanking him for what he's done for us. Same thing with these lepers. They got exactly what they wanted, but they forgot to give praise where praise was due. They forgot to acknowledge what God had done for them. I wonder how heartbreaking that must be for God to hear us call to him, to say, God, please help me in this area. And he goes, okay, I'm going to do that. I don't have to do it, but I'm going to because I love you. And then for that person not to give thanks. That person not to say, thank you, God. Not just, I feel like a lot of times our giving thanks is just saying, thank you, God, I appreciate it, and then moving on with our lives. Okay, that's not actual thanks. Actual thanks is praising God for what he has done, sharing what he has done, giving thanks to God. All the glory goes to God. A lot of times our thanks is, yeah, thank you, God, for answering our prayer. I'm just going to keep moving now. But we need to give praise to the one who deserves it, which is God. Lastly, I want to look at the children of Israel. I'm not going to have you turn here because we know about the children of Israel. But the children of Israel were recorded for their unthankfulness many times in the Bible. It seems that the more God gave them, the more discontented they were with what they had. Okay, where were the Israelites in bondage? Egypt. For how many years? 400 years. That's a long time. How old is America? So longer than America has been a country, they were in bondage with the Egyptians. And actually, we just watched, what movie did we just watch? The Prince of Egypt. If you haven't watched it, watch it. Okay? It's good. They were in bondage for 400 years. Then along comes Moses, and they do the 10, not he, but God does the 10 plagues of Egypt. They see God's great power. Then they leave. God lets them take some of the riches of Egypt with them. Then they come to the sea. Well, they can't cross the sea because they're all going to drown, because I guess they didn't learn how to swim while they were slaves. And God says, you know what, I'm going to part the Red Sea for you. Not only that, but the ground is going to be so dry, you're not even going to tell there's water on it. You're just going to walk just right across it. And then whenever the enemy comes, tries to get you, I'm going to collapse that thing on them, and they're all going to die. So they've seen this. They've seen what God did for them, how powerful their God was, how much their God loved them. And yet, whenever Moses was up on that mount for 40 days, what happened? They worshiped somebody else. Aaron, which is full of baloney, said, you know, we just cast our gold into the fire and this big calf came out. Yeah, you're full of it, Aaron. Okay, but we see how quickly we can go from God blessing us, getting us out of a situation that we're in, to then just completely forgetting what God had done in our past. We completely move on and disregard everything he did for us. Then we see that they got a little hungry in the desert, and God rained down manna from heaven. Manna, I guess it tasted like honey, I guess it says. Okay, but they got manna from heaven. They were able to gather that up every morning, and they were able to use that for food. Now, I do feel bad for them, because I couldn't imagine eating the same thing every day, unless it was, I don't know, steak. I could eat steak every day, and I'd be content, okay? But they got manna from heaven every day. God provided for them, and then they're like, you know what? I really could use some meat. And they started complaining to Moses, saying, you know what? We had it better in Egypt, where we were slaves, which is garbage, I think. They were like, you know what, at least we had hot food and a place to sleep back in Egypt. And they began to become discontent with where they were. They gloried their past life in slavery. And I thought how true that is with us, that we forget everything God has done for us in our life just because hard times come. Okay, Gary had a great lesson this morning about thanking God in the hard times. And I was like, please don't say any more because I'm not going to be able to preach this morning. But I'm not going to go over everything he said, but there are reasons God puts us through hard times or that we go through hard times. I think the one of his points was we go through hard times to draw closer to God, I think. Okay? That's so easy to say whenever we're out of the hard times, isn't it? Be like, yeah, we need to serve God, good or bad. You know, whether he's blessing us or whether we're getting, you know, fired from our job. Whether we are bountiful, whether we're making good money or whether we're not. Whether our family is healthy or whether our family is sick, we just bless God all the time, yep. And then something bad happens and what do? We fall apart. We crumble. Just like the children of Israel did. Okay, once they thought Moses was gone, man, they were like, we need to figure this out. We need to make a God that we can worship here, that we can see. And we totally forget everything that God had done for us in our past couple years. Although they constantly complained, God would forgive and bless them over and over and over again. But I want to say that unthankfulness isn't that you aren't being blessed. It's that you're not seeing the blessings. All right? Whenever those children of Israel were getting manna from heaven, which, can you imagine? Let's say we're out in the woods one day, and we're like, you know, God, we're really hungry. We wish you'd give us food. And just a bread comes falling from the sky. Okay? That'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? Okay? They had that happening every single day of their lives there for a while. And yet they still chose to complain because they weren't seeing the blessings. They were only seeing their problems. They were only magnifying their problems. And murmuring and complainings are symptoms of an unthankful heart. Okay, you can always tell how somebody's doing by what they're talking about. Right, I can always tell at work whenever guys, well, I wish we really had this, or I wish they'd bring us more food, or I wish we'd get paid more. I'm like, man, you guys just aren't thankful for the things that you have. They're providing you with a job. You should be thankful for the job that you have. And I get like that too. I'm like, man, I wish they would give me a pay raise every once in a while. But then I'm like, you know what? I have a job here. I'm able to provide for my family. I need to be thankful. Okay, we can see ourselves, or I can see myself, in a lot of these Bible characters. Just like Adam and Eve, I always crave the one thing God says no to rather than the thousands of things he's already given me. I can see myself in the 9 lepers who, when I receive the thing I most desperately desire, I get so excited and I neglect to thank the one who gave it to me. And lastly, I can see myself in the children of Israel who often forgot God's blessings in the moments things got tough. James 1:2, which I think Gary brought up, actually I can't remember. Says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That temptations there is trials. All right, it's not easy to rejoice when you're going through trials, but that's what James says to do. But a lot of times, I think we're a lot like the children of Israel, who, when we think that we have nothing to be thankful for, you know, God just doesn't love us anymore. You know, the past, what God did in the past just doesn't count. He's not blessing me in this moment, therefore, I don't have to be thankful. We should be thankful because we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. God's got everything under control. And I know that's easier said than done. It's easier to believe it, but then once you're going through the hard time, it's hard to say that out loud. But they discarded the God who had always been so good to them for an object made of gold who couldn't even hear their prayers. And I'm talking about, of course, the children of Israel. And I thought, man, how horrible is that for us to do? God literally gives us things, and then we go and we either give our praise to something that doesn't deserve it, we give it to somebody who doesn't deserve it, and God's just up in heaven looking down at us being like, I don't know how to make you guys happy anymore. Ungratefulness is not just bad manners, it is a spiritual condition. Now, ungratefulness is sneaky in that it slowly slips into your thoughts, then it moves to your words, and then it moves to your actions. All right? Unthankfulness is a heart condition where you start thinking it, you're like, man, that, I don't know, I just could use more. Then you start saying it, and then you start acting like it. It drains us of our joy and does nothing but magnify our problems in our minds. I don't know if you know a very ungrateful person or unthankful person, but are they pleasant to be around? I mean, let's be honest here. Somebody who complains all the time saying, man, I wish I was in a better condition than I am right now. I wish I had a better job than I do right now. I wish my wife loved me, which I don't. My wife loves me a lot, okay? But whenever you're around those people, it kind of drains on you, doesn't it? It kind of tears you down. They're not very fun to be around. So now that we've looked at the problem that we have, we must also look at the cure for thankfulness. I'm going to turn to a small verse, but I think you guys should read it. Go over to Psalms 103, verse 2, real quick. If we're going to learn to be a thankful people, it begins with being aware of what God has done. We need to be aware of what God has done. We need to practice being thankful. Okay, so Psalms 103, verse 2. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Nice. I've always wanted to do that. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. What does it say in verse number 1? Somebody. No, in verse number 1. What's the very first part?
Bless the Lord.
Oh, doesn't it say a Psalm of David? Maybe that's just my Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. This is a Psalm of David, okay? Let me just say that. This is a Psalm of David. Now, who is David talking to here? He's talking to himself. All right? He's not talking to a congregation. He's not talking to his friends. He's talking to himself. David is reminding himself to not forget what the Lord has done for him. I think it's human nature to forget. Okay? Are we naturally born thankful? No, absolutely not. Anybody who has kids knows that they're just not naturally thankful. All right? You have to spend years and years telling, hey, you need to say thank you. Thank you. You know, hey, you need to go tell them thanks for all that. And then afterwards, you're like, I finally trained them. And then it's like, nope, they didn't learn not a thing I told them. Okay? We're just not naturally thankful. Our nature is to be selfish and to be proud. Okay, that is why the Bible constantly commands us and reminds us to be thankful. Human nature is to focus on the trial, but forget who brought us through the trial. We often remember the one negative comment, but forget the many words of encouragement that we heard. And we remember what hurt us, but we don't remember what helped us. That's just who we are. We always remember the bad in everything. I could go a whole day of having an awesome day at work, everything is going well, and then I get home, and my wife says, I've just had a horrible day. You know, the kids are being bad, nobody's listening to me, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, now I'm having a bad day. Or my wife could come up and say something really mean to me, which she says often, okay? And they could just wreck my whole day just like that, because we tend to focus on the things that hurt us, and we don't tend to focus on the things that went well. Okay, thankfulness is choosing to acknowledge the good rather than dwelling on the bad. We need to remember the times God made a way for us, the times he has answered prayers, and the times he comforted us in the night, and the times that he just blessed us. A thankful believer is a believer who refuses to forget. Not refuses to forget the good, but refuses to forget the good. We need to constantly be reminding ourselves of the things that we have. Constantly remind ourselves of the family we have, of the job we have, of the things God has given us. Okay, now those are all temporal things, but it's a good start. It's a practice. We're not naturally born thankful. It's something that you need to work on. Okay, if I just lived my life, I probably wouldn't be a thankful person. All right, but I try to say thank you. I try to thank God all the time, and I fail in that area a lot. But David had to remind himself, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget what God has done for you. A thankful believer is a believer who refuses to forget. If we are not actively thanking the Lord daily, we will forget his benefits. Okay, and like I said, we have so much to be thankful for. We have family, friends, jobs. But I think the greatest thing that we have to be thankful for, which if you're a believer, then you know where I'm going with this, is what Jesus did on the cross. Okay, and I don't know, but I got into this habit of thanking Jesus for coming and dying on the cross for my sins. And it's something that I try not to forget, because it's so easy to forget. We say we get saved and we live our life, But then we tend to forget about what Jesus did on the cross and what all that entailed. Okay, Jesus was willing to leave heaven, to leave his place by his Father's side. He came down, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross for my sin. He took all the wrong that I did and put it on himself. Okay, so he took the debt that I could not pay. He took that upon himself and paid it for me. We needed a sinless sacrifice to pay for our sins, and Jesus was the only sinless man on earth. Romans 6:23, this is Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death. If he hadn't have taken pity on us, we would all be in hell with no chance of seeing heaven. He died in our place so that we could wear his righteousness and become the sons of God." Now, all I had to do was to accept the free gift of salvation. I had to believe that Jesus was real. He came down, lived a sinless life for me and for you. And he took my sins, and that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Okay, John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay, I had to realize that I was a sinner, undeserving of his love, and nothing I could do could get me to heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Okay, salvation is a gift and is something that we should be thanking God for daily. It's nothing that we should take lightly. It's something that we should thank God for daily. Okay, so I said my first point was the practice of thankfulness. We need to remember the blessings of God. Secondly, we need to express our thankfulness. Okay, turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be in verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Thankfulness is a blessing to God, just like it is a blessing to us. All right? I want you to think, if no one ever thanked you for anything, would you be willing to go out there and just do the things you don't enjoy doing? Not really. Okay, maybe that's a horrible thing to say. But whenever I do something for somebody, I love to be thanked. Okay, it's the smallest little thing. All right, you know, I come and help you move, a thank you would be nice. Or even a small thing, holding the door. If I hold the door for somebody, they just walk past and look at me, I'm like, next time, I'm not opening the door for you. You can do it yourself. All right? But we would quickly be unwilling to help. However, we expect God to continually bless us when we never thanked him for the last thing he did. Thankfulness starts inside, but it shouldn't stay there. Thankfulness benefits no one unless it is shown. You know, and a lot of times you say, well, we need to be more thankful. Well, I am thankful. And they're there with an angry face on, and they're like, I am thankful. It's like, well, you're not showing it very much, are you? And who is it benefiting? Absolutely nobody. Your thankfulness is just sitting inside. Nobody knows anything or what you're thankful for. Just like a marriage. Oh, I thought about, well, I think me and my wife were talking about this. Imagine a married couple who they would do things for each other and no, you didn't thank the other one. How would that marriage go? Probably not very well. Okay, whenever I do something for my wife, I don't want to say expect because that sounds bad. But whenever I do something for you, okay, I do expect a little bit of gratitude, all right? But if I just went on and on and on and doing things for Joelle and, you know, taking out the trash for her and taking care of dirty diapers, and which I do, I change diapers. I do that a lot, actually. Help bathe the kids, and she never said thank you, that would upset me a little bit. Just like whenever she cooks dinner for me, takes care of the kids for me, cleans the house, which I'm seeing the jobs here a little misconstrued, but that's okay. Okay? If I never thanked her, how happy do you think she'd be in our relationship? Not very happy. That's the same with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. If God continues to bless us and to give us things and we never thank Him, that relationship is not very good, is it? Same with our relationship with people. Okay? I don't know, but I don't want to help somebody who's not thankful. Okay? I will, but I don't want to. Okay? Maybe that's a bad attitude. But thankfulness has the ability to shift the atmosphere in a home, a church, and in a heart. Okay? Unthankfulness is a contagious spirit that affects all those around you. All right? 9 times out of 10, if there is an ungrateful little brat, okay, you look at their parents 9 times out of 10, I don't know for sure, okay, but usually they're ungrateful little brats as well, okay? They learn from their parents. It's contagious. It affects those around you. I think I said that earlier, that whenever you're around somebody who's ungrateful, you're just, man, maybe I don't want to be around these people too much. I'm getting upset too. However, thankfulness is just as contagious. There's nothing more uplifting and encouraging than being around a genuinely thankful person. All right? There are definitely people that I can think of that I don't want to be around and people that I do want to be around. And I take a look at their actions. I take a look at what they say. And there's definitely a pattern. The people I don't want to be around usually are grumpy. They're complaining about everything. They're saying how horrible their life is. And the people that I do want to hang around, there are people who are uplifting and saying, man, it didn't work out, but it'll be better next time or something like that. So I wanted to ask, how do you affect those people around you? Do people say how pleasant we are to be around, or do they say how much we complain and wish things were different and that we're never satisfied? Are we thankful for what we have? Are we aware of all that God has given us, and are we expressing our gratitude to God and those around us? Or are we like Adam and Eve, always looking for something better, never content? Are we like the 9 lepers who focused too much on themselves and forgot to thank the God that healed them? Or are we like the children of Israel who always pointed out the hardships rather than the blessings that God gave them, only thanking God when times were good? Ungratefulness says it's not enough. Gratitude declares, God, you've already been better to me than I deserve. So I encourage you this morning to be a thankful person, to be like that 1 leper who returned to Jesus and said, thank you. I don't deserve what you just did to me. I'll ask you to stand to your feet if you will.